Welcome to the Williams Nikken YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nancy. Monty here.
Hello, Monty.
How are you today?
I am fine.
Great.
It's going to be another beautiful day here. We had a nice one yesterday. It wasn't even cool. It was like a spring day.
Yeah.
You're already experiencing a little cold weather, aren't you?
Yep, it's going to be, from what I understand, and looking at the Farmer's Almanac, that it's going to be a little more chillier than usual this year. So, that's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, all.
Morning, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Monty.
Thank you for your expertise in photography and video making. The video you did for the talk.
I wasn't
happy with my Mag Duo until I modified it like Dennis suggested.
Right. A lot of people kept asking the question, so.
Good morning. Oh, Ruth's back.
I heard you did a great job on the green sign. The enzyme.
Good.
Wow.
There's an echo. You have an echo, Ruth.
No, I think I'll change. I'm not sure if that's me or somebody else. I'll change phones, I guess. This is that. I'll be right back.
I hear her water. Hi, Nancy. I don't know, that kind of sounds like a speakerphone, like somebody's on a speakerphone. Because I can hear the background of the water in her house. You know, the swimming pool or the, you know, some sort of waterfall.
You're looking for somebody?
Just a quiet group this morning.
So, hello? Did the echoing and all the noise go away when I left?
No, the echoing's gone now. For a while I could hear your waterfall. A waterfall sound, a water noise, but it's not a distraction right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no echo.
I
think it stopped as soon as you left the phone.
Nancy, what did you say?
I think that all that noise went away after you put us on hold.
Okay. I put you on hold. Oh. Nancy, you need to come in on the host code when you're being the speaker.
I am on it.
Then you shouldn't have been on hold. Maybe everybody else is on hold except you.
I just used that as it went blank, so I assume you put us on hold to go take care of whatever.
No, I didn't.
Okay. But it did leave.
Okay. Okay, good morning, everyone. Sorry for the noise break there. Let's go ahead and get started right away. So, I know Nancy has some information for us today, and I am glad to be back. This is our Health Style Call, and we do have a mission and a cause to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices becoming more mind and body fit. Hopefully voice. Good thing I'm not talking. I better get some water. So this morning we're going to have Nancy Gilmer from Houston, Texas share with us some information that she has learned. So here's Nancy.
All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm going to speak on the male fungus that we spoke of the other day and the use of oil of oregano. So the first thing I was going to read to you about is through this Dr. Becker in Dallas. He has a book where he devotes a chapter to that. And this is regarding, let me get to the right page here. Okay, there are naturally occurring anti-yeast and fungal herbs and food extracts available. The following is a list that will be helpful. He says not everyone will need to take all of these agents. Most find cycling through several of them are helpful, being on one or two or even three, being on two or three at a time. It is usually obvious to the person which remedies help the most.
Nancy, excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Some of them may not have been on yesterday. Maybe we could just say what this is helping, fungus, and a little bit about the fungus.
Well, it's toenail or fingernail fungus that we were speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was 2 days ago, maybe. Or was it? No, it was yesterday, I guess. I'm not sure what day.
It was Tuesday.
Yes.
And you were going to prepare and do it Thursday.
That's right. Okay, so he lists some antifungals that are just things that we have over the counter. So the first one is garlic, 3 to 5 grams orally. The garlic can also be freshly cut and applied to any area of the skin or nails affected by fungus. Well, I have a friend who tried it with, well, actually she read about this online. She chopped up the garlic and added a little of the oregano with it and dredged her toes in it. And it helped with her toenail fungus. Of course, you'd have to do that when you're not going somewhere, I guess, because I don't know if that would leave an odor.
Well, so do you always put it on, or do you eat it? We have our garlic. Oh, I guess it's not. You can't garlic. I take garlic all the time.
Yes. Garlic internally is one of the antifungal methods that, you know, we should take it internally when we're trying to kill yeast in our system. And, oh, I'm sorry, I should have prefaced all this with candida. This is when people are noticing they've got signs of yeast in their body, overgrowth of the good bacteria, overgrowth of the bad bacteria, canceling out the good. So we, in order to get all of that back into sync, we have to build back up the good bacteria. And, of course, all of us know that we do that with a very good probiotic, but we also need the prebiotic to feed the probiotic. So, and our Nikon products have that. I forget which product it is. Joan, which one is it that has prebiotic in it? Do you remember?
Body Balance.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's
lactoferrin?
And then the lactoferrin is wonderful for helping with all of this.
Possibly, and I think maybe the digestion.
Right. And then to take the mushrooms, these are all just working on that fungus because the mushrooms do kill that. So then the next one is Patiarco, and that's spelled P-A-U, and then B, a little D, apostrophe A-R-C-O, 500 to 1,000 milligrams twice a day. And then olive leaf extract, 100 to 200 milligrams twice a day.
The caprylic acid, of course, we have that in the coconut oil, and that's 500 to 1,000 milligrams twice a day. Then the oil of oregano, 5 to 10 drops in water once or twice daily, or one gel cap once or twice daily. Excuse me. With Dr. Katz Ingram, he says today to take two capsules twice a day, and the drops under the tongue. Now, with him saying put it in water, I don't think we could. Well, I've never tried it, but as strong as it is, I don't think I could handle that. So I usually put it in juice, but normally it's strong. And as long as you hold the tip of your tongue up to your palate so that it doesn't touch the taste bud, you'll be fine. But you have to let it soak in for a while, and then you can take some juice or something to wash it on down. Then unpasteurized apple cider vinegar, and that would be like Bragg. 1 teaspoon in water twice daily. And tea tree oil. I've also soaked my feet with tea tree oil. That also makes them very moist and soft and easy to do your pedicure. But you can apply this topically to the fungal toenails daily for as long as 18 months. The duration of treatment must allow enough time for the diseased nail to be replaced by a normal nail. And then here's one I've heard many times through the years, but not for sure if it works that well by itself, but when you mix it along with the tea tree oil, the Vicks Vapor Rub, it contains oil of eucalyptus, menthol, and camphor. And it says here it may be mixed with tea tree oil and applied to the toenails, and he says with surprising effectiveness. Oil of oregano may also be used alone or in combination with the Vicks Vapor Rub. The treatment there, again, needs to be done for at least 18 months so that the healthy nail can be replaced. And he says, consider talking to your doctor about taking a prescriptive antifungal medication. These medications alone cannot be relied upon for a complete cure without the above holistic measures. So that's kind of in a nutshell on that. Let me go back to Dr. Kat Ingram and read you a little of this. Okay, a little bit of a bio on. Oh, it left the screen again. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Dr. Katz Ingram, he is an osteopathic doctor. His degree is from the University of Osteopathic Medicine and Health Sciences. He is a popular and who is a frequent guest on the Power Hour. I have no idea what that is. He has authored many best-selling books, and the following are available through the Power Hour. I think his first book was The Cure is in the Cupboard. One of his later books, The Cure is in the Forest, has a lot of good information. I have not read the book. I just have heard him talk about different things he's got in the book. But he says a healthy lifestyle, wild or organic products, all of these are genetically all products are not genetically modified, all healthy, are supported by the research, and more importantly, it does work. Now, if you go back to another... Okay, so he's talking about the oil of oregano, and he says it is used to make a medicinal oil. Well, actually, the ingredient in it that makes it work is oreganum vulgare. This is used to make a medicinal oil that has been used for thousands of years by herbalists to treat a variety of illnesses. It is a wild flowering herb with fragrant green leaves and is a native to the mountainous regions of the Mediterranean. It's different from the oregano spice sold in the grocery stores. And we need to look at the, before buying this, you need to carefully look at the label to find whether it says key 73. That's what we, this is the kind that is for the healing, and it's the pure form. But if it doesn't have those words on it, just ask someone there at the store.
We couldn't hear what came before the numbers 73.
Oh, I'm sorry. P as in Paul.
Paul.
73.
Got it. Thanks.
And it's totally different than the, I think they call it the oregano from Mexico. That's not the same.
Okay.
The medicinal uses, he says, are, let's go back to the active ingredients. They are oregano oil, the active ingredients in oregano oil are carvacrol, and thymol, T-H-Y-M-O-L. Carvacrol has been shown to destroy bacteria in test tubes and mice. Thymol boosts the immune system. An herbalist believes oregano oil has antiviral, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, antifungal, antibacterial, and antiparasitic properties. It is ingested to treat diarrhea, indigestion, anxiety, cold symptoms, headache, toothache, gum disease, rheumatism, earache, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, sinus infection, bronchitis, and allergies. The oil is used externally to treat insect bites, athlete's foot, skin rashes, acne, dandruff, and eczema.
Eczema, did you say?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This oreganum vulgare is rich in iron, calcium, zinc, magnesium, potassium, boron, copper, and manganese. It also contains vitamins A and C, along with niacin. And as far as side effects and drug interactions, there are no known side effects or drug interactions. However, the U.S. FDA has not approved oregano oil for use as a drug, and therefore no official studies on its safety have been conducted.
What was the doctor's name, Nancy?
Dr. Cass, and that's with a C. C-A-S-S. Ingram. I-N-G-R-A-M.
Thank you.
And here he talks about the cure is in the cupboard, how to use oregano for better health. Dr. Ingram indicates that... he cured himself of a blood-borne fungal infection with oregano oil. And somewhere, as I was looking this up, it told that he accidentally learned that because he spilled the bottle on himself. And I didn't take time to read that. I saw that on one of these. But a 2005 study of oregano oil by Georgetown University Medical Center, Washington, D.C., notes oregano oil is capable of killing the bacterial organisms Staphylococcus aureus, the H. pylori, the Helicobacter, and E. coli, Klebsiella, pneumoniae, and Microbacterium terrae, T-E-R-R-A-E. The study concluded oregano oil might prove useful in prevention and treatment of severe bacterial infections, especially those that are difficult to treat and or antibiotics resistant. So that's kind of a good thing to know, that if our antibiotics fail, we've got something as strong as that to over the counter. Okay, that's about all I have on that. Any comments at this point?
Sounds like a good book to have in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Actually, he has written, I think, at least 20 books, and all of them start with the natural healing or the natural cure for, and then you list the things. Let me see if I can pull that up.
Well, he wrote two books, The Cure is in the, covered in the forest, yeah, you said. That first bacteria you mentioned is is what we call a staph infection, which actually eats flesh. And if you ever get a staph infection and don't treat it, not only does it eat little holes in your tonsils, it happens to really like heart valves. And many people that have heart valve replacements have the origin of that needful thing in an untreated staph infection that they did get over, but not until after certain things happened.
Actually, Joan, I had never... Now, are you speaking of MRSA or just a staph?
No, a regular staph infection. The thing that originally, when you were growing up, you got antibiotics for every time you had a sore throat. The thing where they look in your throat, and if you have white pustules on your tonsil tissue, if you look inside your throat, on the two sides going down your throat, where your tongue goes in the middle, there are these things, you know, tonsils, okay? Tonsils and what's that tonsil tissue called? At any rate, if you have little white dots, those aren't really white dots. Those are dead cells of your flesh, okay, caused by the staph infection. And that tissue is very susceptible to staph, that particular bacteria, staphylococci something or other. And so also is the valve tissues in your heart. So, okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I have random pieces of information. You know what I want to know? Two things, Nancy. Do you know anybody, does anybody know anybody that got rid of nail fungus? I mean rid of it. And the other thing is, yeah?
But go ahead. Were you going to say a little more?
And then the other question I have is, how much are we going to have to take of this stuff? You know, I mean, 5 drops, 1 or 2 times a day for 18 months. I mean, you know, I should brush my teeth as regular as that.
Well, I did, and I saw her nails before she started, but I have a friend who used the oil of oregano. I think that was the only thing she used. But she would soak her nails at night as she was watching TV. She put it in a small little dish, but her nails look beautiful now.
Oil of oregano is extremely expensive. So you mean she, but she, maybe she like kept using the same liquid?
Yeah, that's you're right. It is a little on the pricey. That small 1 ounce dropper bottle is usually around $40. I think the vitamin shop carries a little bit less.
Yeah, a little bit less than $40 an ounce is too much if you do it.
Yeah, that's true.
What brand is it? I looked on Vitacost. Kathleen and I were looking on Vitacost yesterday, and there were some that they were much less expensive. How can you tell which one is going to be the will work well?
P73.
Yeah, this is
P is in Paul. -73. And not from Mexico. This is what Nancy just told us.
Sorry,
the bottle,
look at that book.
When I looked for the one that Dr. Ingram highly recommends, which is through North American Spice, and I can send all of this to Ruth if you all want to look at this. That bottle is identical to the one from the vitamin shop. The label looks the same, except it's got the vitamin shop little logo on it. So I'm assuming that is one and the same.
And what was it called? It's a P73 oregano also, Nancy?
Yes, it is. And the one that the Vitacost has, I thought I saved that to myself last night.
Well, Nancy, can you tell me from that friend, how long did it take? How long did it take? I mean, I could do something maybe for 3 months.
Well, I don't know. I will check with her. But this, I think if...
somebody washing your dishes or clinking, could you please *6 so we don't have that noise, please? Excuse me.
I thought if he's maybe indicating that it takes that long for the new nail to grow off or actually to be killing the fungus, but it kind of sounded like he did mean that it takes that long.
Well, for tea tree oil, it was for a soak, you know, it's tea tree oil. You know, I would just get a Q-tip and paint those little suckers, you know, jam, get that oil underneath that nail, you know, and put on a pair of silk socks and, you know, call it a night.
I love it. So I'm just suffering from those right now. That helps me laugh about it.
Yeah.
I would remind you that the lactoferrin has helped, did help my mom. She had it under her toenails, and when she was taking that, that did go away.
Yeah, I think that is our key also, is to stay with this lactoferrin on a continual basis and help everything. Okay, now I'm on Vitacost. There is the little 0.45 ounce is, well, they've got the $21 struck through, so it's going to be less than that. Okay, theirs is $20.07. And then for the 1 ounce, well, it is $40.15. So, but I think it's a little less on the vitamin shop, but maybe not.
I priced one at the health food store in Wenatchee Tuesday after your talk, and one was $34 and another one was $70, and it said organic on the $70, and we, you know, I left them there because I didn't know what to look for in them.
But now you know you want the P73.
Yes.
And not from Mexico.
Yes.
But if yours is saying organic, more than likely it is the proper one.
What was that, Nancy?
If she saw organic on that label, more than likely that is the P73. And that will be, you may want to take your really good glasses with you, because a lot of times it's in very fine print. You take some good reading glasses.
Oh, yes, you can hardly read. I went to Fred Meyer yesterday, and they referred me to capsules to take internally. But
That's good, too. In fact, when I couldn't remember the other day, this is what Dr. Ingram would always say. Two capsules twice a day, morning and evening, and two drops under the tongue twice a day. He said that will knock out a cold or flu or anything, any kind of problem. And with it covering such a wide array of different things, being antifungal, antibacterial, and so forth, that's good to know. But and it's not bad if you keep it right under your tongue and keep the tip of your tongue up. You will not experience, you can't even tell it's in there. But you have to do it when you know you're not getting a phone call or something. As soon as your taste buds hit it, it does burn. And milk is a good way to get that steaming out.
And if you go for that, I have some pepper seeds that are just, you know, really hot. I would just jam those suckers underneath those toes. That'll be the end of it.
You'll not notice.
I took that medication. I was in the Caribbean for a while. I did lots of stuff with water. I mean, a lot of stuff. And I got a toe fungus, and it's the slowest growing thing in the world. But you know, at one point, it really got to be horrible. I mean, ugly, uncomfortable, lifting my toenail up. And so I took that medication, and in the middle of that medication, I got allergic to it. And that medication, I don't recommend for anybody. I am sure it is a definite do bad in your system. But at any rate, what that medication did sort of arrest things in a sense. But it made a real division between what was healthy and what wasn't. And so now I have, a zebra, big toe zebra. You know, it's healthy as can be at up to a certain point, and then it goes south, you know, in color.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that means.
Actually, it can harm the liver, so that's...
Yeah, it's a bad thing, a really bad thing. And he says, you know, you might want to consider taking the prescription along with this. Well, forget that.
Well, now my doctor gives nystatin to kill the fungus in the GI tract, and then 2 weeks later he starts us on. And diflucan, and the diflucan kills it in the bloodstream. But those two, they've never seen any problems with it. But when you're talking about like Lamisil and some of these others, they make you sign a release form on those, I understand, from my friend when she had toenail fungus. She said, it was like signing my liver away. But anyway. But what really helps, you have to do the whole process, which is getting it out of your system, changing your diet, getting the foods that keep the fungus out of your diet. So you would, at least 3 months, you would want to do an anti-yeast and an no sugar and no yeast. And eat just mainly, like we've all been doing here on the call, good fruits and vegetables. But even for the first 2 weeks, you eliminate fruit because they are high in sugar. But when you do the diet, along with taking these other things, whether it be the nystatin and diflucan or these over-the-counter things we've talked about, That's what really helps, because if you're still feeding the fungus with the sugar and the yeast products, it's a losing battle.
Okay, now when you say, okay, now this help, okay, is that the same as cure, fix, go away, gone forever? That's what I'm looking for.
That's what I understand from listening to these testimonies from the doctor that we go to. He's got a radio program where he has the people come on and give their success stories. And so many of those women will say, I am now back to wearing my sandals and I'm proud of my toenails. So obviously it does work. But you have to, I guess, just really be diligent about it. And I think with that little dropper, you could just put, as far as the fingernails or the toenails, just put a drop and then massage it in as though it was a cream, like you were putting a beautiful cream on. And I think that, and underneath, be sure to get it underneath the nail bed, and I think that would probably work just as well as soaking it. But the story about the garlic, the crushed garlic, and so you can buy that, of course, you know, buy that in the grocery store, and to dredge that, your toenail or your fingernails into that. This friend said that really worked, and very quickly. It wasn't even a matter of, it was less than a month. But I will ask her again how long it actually took her. And what she would do is then put it, she would go to bed with it, but she would put a sock on.
Yeah. Why don't you get her little story, you know, and, you know, like how long did you do it and what did you do and how did you do it and how did you keep your sheets from getting rotted, eaten through or whatever.
You'd almost have to put a plastic bag around your sock.
Well, hey, for 3 months.
Yeah, to keep it off the sheets. Okay. Any other questions?
No, I saw a dermatologist for mine yesterday, and I was wondering what she would say, because you'd really helped Nancy by tipping me off with these other things. And she said, oh, often, you know, this is entirely eczema on your hands, and it'll have it all the time, but when everything is so red and broken open and sore and puffy, it's, you can have staph infection or another infection in there. And she said, I'm writing you a prescription for cephalexin, cephalexin. And I took one, and then I was talking to Ruth, and I don't think maybe one would hurt me. And maybe I won't take any more, and I'll just try the oregano oil and the garlic and see what happens first.
Well, with doctors not being real current on, since they haven't studied this in med school, I understand they touch on fungus, but they don't really study it. Everything else is, in their world, is the bacterial and viral. But they are not aware, a lot of them aren't, that giving antibiotics is actually fueling the problem. I mean, it's
raging fire.
Yes. And so that is not, I don't think that would be the route to go. But, you know, a lot of times we can learn a lot more from our pharmacists on a lot of these things. But I would think that would make your problem even worse with because that's what the antibiotics do. They cause the yeast problem because they're knocking out all the good bacteria. So yours is also a little bit inflamed around the nail.
Oh, yes, quite.
Mm-hmm. Inflamed, what, are you saying eczema? That's skin versus toenail fungus or fingernail fungus. I mean, you have a fungus, or do you have a... Eczema is a general term used for raw skin or whatever.
Go ahead.
Well, we had a teacher who had it on one finger, and I told her about these things, and she said, oh, that's all right. My doctor's given a prescription. I thought, okay. But hers was very red and inflamed and puffy around the nail bed, the cuticle area. And I think I've even heard from way back that you could take break off an aloe vera leaf and put that around the nail, and I think I've heard that that helped.
Well, mine is predominantly on my hands, and they break out like hamburger. I mean, they break out, and it looks like you cut them with the paring knife. And that's been all over my hands, and I've worked with it for a number of years, had it all cleared up, and then something happened here lately, stress or something, and they just broke out something awful where I could hardly stand the pain. I mean, it just couldn't even function. Now my fingers are swollen, and they're really hugely swollen near the base of some of the nails, my fingernails. And bright red, and they're cracked open, and it's just searing to put them in water, and so that's what I'm dealing with. And there's one nail that's separated from the base, and the nails get terribly distorted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one doctor told me that's Bose lines when the nails get that distorted, B-E-A-U apostrophe S. But it's quite a deal.
Would you spell that again? B-E-A-U?
Yes, B-E-A-U apostrophe S. And that was the rheumatologist said he knew what that was. I said, I'd never seen such ugly nails in my life. And he said, I know, and you had to be very, very sick to have that. And I've looked at, they must have 15 symptoms, and one of them is malnutrition, I think. And I don't think I digest my food properly, so that rings a bell.
Yeah, you have a system thing going on that has to do. I mean, I want to know about your, you know, exposure to toxins. Okay. Oh gosh. Yeah, have you looked this up? I mean, have you looked up? They're calling it eczema. Is that what they're calling it?
Well, that's what she did call it yesterday.
Okay, and that's pretty much like saying, well, what you've got is a stomachache. Okay, it's such a big general term. And the stomachache could be upset stomach could be caused by, 25,000 factors. I mean, pick one.
Yes.
So, and I'm thinking you're describing something that is a system-wide issue.
Sure it is, and this call has really made me think about that. You know, you kind of forget. I used to have... always seemed like I had candida, and even the naturopathic would say, oh, you don't have that. And I said, I think I do. I feel like I do.
Yeah.
I can never quite get rid of it. And I had a classmate, had her husband die, a slow death of fungus, just a few months ago.
I would do some real serious nutrition and detoxing. I do the nutrition along, Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's complicated. Yes.
Well, I work at that. I really have such a strict diet, and it's mostly meat and vegetables. And even the naturopathic says, you can eat fruit. And I said, no, I feel like I'm bitten. You know, I feel like my skin is bitten somehow if I eat fruit even.
Well, there are treatments to get rid of candida.
I've had several. But not lately, I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something to really, you're really helping me. I just appreciate this so much.
Well, step one is drink lots and lots and lots of water. Drink water. How much water? Get up in the morning. Don't do anything. Well, except maybe your coconut swish to pull out bacteria, okay, coconut oil, and then drink a liter of water. Pimag water would be really good, okay, and then think about eating, and the point is, whatever your body's trying to do, you need water to do it. If it's trying to detox you, if it's trying to make enzymes, if it's, whatever, I don't know, oh gosh.
Well, water is what I drink.
Probably one of those candida
routines that you probably have followed it before, maybe you should do that, visit that one again.
Yep. I think so.
Yeah, something that's worked in the past, even a little bit, do. And I don't know why you couldn't. It's too bad you can't identify what is the cause of the flare-up. You know, whether it's food, eating, or a food, or a toxin, you know.
She's had a lot of stress, and so when you're under a lot of stress and then you try to eat, well, then you don't digest, and so here she is starving to death.
Yeah, it feels like there's no energy, and then I just try to really push to get a few things done, and it's just not working.
What, have you had your vitamin D level taken?
Yes.
And was it low? What was it?
No, it was normal. In fact, I got that back this week. I've had the naturopathic do that test. Let's see. Probably have that right here in the...
Should be above, you know, like 80 would be good.
Vitamin D. Vitamin D 25-hydroxy, value 55.2, and the range is 30.0 to 100.0 ng-ml.
So you get a C.
Not a C, yeah. I'm not an A, but I'm a C.
I would try to get that up to the 70 range, 70 or 80. That's what my doctor tries to do. And they have found that you have to take at least 10,000 IUs for at least a month or two, and then you can be tested. But they said unless you get up into that 10,000 range, they don't see their patients ever pulling that number up. That sounds amazing, but that's what they have seen through all of their... they said they first started telling people, oh, take 5,000 a day, but when it takes actually 10,000 to get that up.
10,000 a day for
Vitamin D.
Yes.
And make sure it's vitamin D3.
Yes.
And Kathleen, on VitaCost, you can get that. You can get 5,000 units vitamin D3 with iodine.
Oh, good.
Did you stop eating table salt?
I haven't eaten table salt in years. I eat.
And are you eating oysters? Where are you getting your iodine?
I was taking liquid iodine, and I think it's OZ is the label on it, that a chiropractor that is savvy these things follows Dr. Blaylock, and she got that for me.
Mm-hmm. And what, did you just stop taking that?
Yeah, I ran out.
And then you got the hand stuff come back? I'm looking for cause.
Yes, I always seek the cause, and that helps.
This is why we take it, have a journal. Where's what's her name from Monday? Okay, she's on the call. This is why we do our journal.
Very little.
Sure it is. Sure it is. Oh, I like this group effort of all the reminders and the keys. It could be just one little thing that might nudge it.
But you don't want to leave yourself nudged, just not asymptomatic, but nudged, you know, on the verge of this cliff that you can fall off of any time you run out of something. You want to restore your health. Once you get into a good situation, then you want to build something. You need this foundation. You need to build. Okay.
Restore the foundation with the good help of a good doctor.
Okay, so did we get a clue here? Did you have this breakout after you ran out of that iodine drops, out of those iodine drops?
Well, certainly.
Could that
be? It's post-iodine, that's for sure.
And so add in that thing that worked before for the yeast, and put in some of this stuff, you know? Put in an antibacterial, blah, blah, blah. But don't spend $70, you know, a week on that. Get a little iodine.
Well, and I understand another thing good for any kind of skin conditions is zinc. So if we're low in that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that's where she was going with the oysters.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was also going to iodine and zinc.
I just purchased more zinc on Tuesday when I was looking for the oregano oil.
Now, isn't there a zinc to take, sort of like the magnesium you want to citrate? What is a zinc?
Well, I've never really studied. I guess they use zinc. I don't know. I haven't.
I just heard this recently.
Oh, okay.
Well,
right. One week it's 99 milligrams. I think it's just 99 milligrams.
Mine is 75 that I bought. That was the highest I could get Tuesday in capsules.
In one of my books by a nutritionist, she's no longer living, but I'm trying to think of her name now, but she told a young man who had an acne breakout to use zinc and something else, and he came back.
Zinc B-complex and I think it's a lysine. It's an amino acid.
Mm-hmm.
And that was for what?
That was for acne.
Acne and also like cold sore, those sores in your throat, canker sores.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the mixture for zinc, okay. Gliconate, okay, that's a type of zinc. Lysinate, that's a type of zinc. And picolinate.
Picolinate.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I don't know which one it is. I know that one of them is recommended, and I don't know which one, so I'll have to find that out.
Yeah. I just take a mixture, you know, just get zinc.
Cover it.
What was the second one, Joan?
Lysinate.
I didn't get that.
L as in...
I got L-Y-N.
L-Y-S.
Oh, S.
Then I-N... A T E. These are all eight ATEs. And the third one is P as in Paul, I C O, and then L I N A T E.
Okay.
Something has crossed my mind before we end the call. I'd love to share a story. A nutritionist from Dallas, Doug Kaufman, when he came back from Vietnam in 72, I think, he had skin eruptions that were so bad no doctor could figure out how to handle it. He had been placed on medications. Nothing was working. He said his arms were even bleeding because he was scratched so much. But at that time, so many years ago, of course, he didn't have a computer system. He said he spent hours and hours in the library just researching and figured out that he had a fungal disorder. So he treated himself with, I guess it was some of these things we've mentioned today. Anyway, he got well, and his skin and everything turned back to normal by what he was doing. So, and he was out in California at the time, and he went to work for a dermatologist out there at one of the teaching hospitals, and he would tell the doctors what they needed to give for these patients, and when they saw the results, they got to where they just gave him signed prescription pads and said, you take care of it, you just give the patients what you feel they need, and they were all getting well. And at some point, a doctor in Dallas heard about him doing that, and he decided he was going to go down there and tell that young man that he was wrong, that was not a way to treat. So he went down and had a long, very long meeting with him, and when he pulled out all the patient's records and showed, the doctor from Dallas sat back in his chair and he said, I cannot believe this. He said, you have done something that it takes us years to attempt to do, and we still don't get to the root of the problem. So he hired him to come to Dallas. So that's why he's in Dallas now. But he had gone down there to tell him, you can't be talking like that. You're not a doctor, and you can't be prescribing these things to patients. But
Well, so, and he was prescribing, he was treating fungal, successful in treating fungal diseases. Is that what you're saying, Nancy?
Yes, with a, with changing their diet, and he calls his the phase one diet. Later he came out in another book with the phase two diet, but he's got numerous books out.
So our friend should take a look, the person on the call should check that out.
Yes, I should.
Yes, phase one diet. You can Google, right? You do electronics?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And that'd be Dr. Doug Hoffman. Doug Hoffman, phase one diet.
If you will email me, I can shoot that right back to you. I'll send it to you and Ruth, but or to anybody on the call. But his website has a lot of good information. But he, I get results. But I've compared his phase one diet with my doctor's yeast-free diet. The only difference I see is that Doug does not require them to be off of fruit for the first 2 weeks, whereas my doctor says to give you a head start, you eliminate that because of the content of sugar. But otherwise, it's the same. It's like they say, it's a caveman diet. You eat, your meat and, fish, meat, poultry and all that, along with fruits and vegetables.
That's what I live on.
And you also get off of the dairy products. And that's, I'm not real clear on Doug's phase one diet, whether he requests for the dairy to be eliminated. Mm-hmm.
But she can check that out.
See, I just think, and then how many probiotics do you take? Or quite a lot, or just?
I take a critical colon one. It's 80,000 something or others, and it's a full spectrum, quite a spectrum of.
You're doing a lot of stuff. You're doing a lot of stuff, and,
But I still need to make a change somewhere.
Yes, and you're going to address the iodine. You're going to Google this other stuff. When you get relief, don't stop there. It's like you want to just get yourself on the edge of the cliff, and you got to get miles away from that cliff.
I keep your journal. Keep your journal. That'll help you stay on.
Yes, it will.
Okay, guys. How much iodine a day are we supposed to be taking if we're not?
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, who can get anybody to tell you?
Yeah.
Each body is different too.
Mm-hmm. Where is that? I need to take some. And I just
I see
some.
The iodine is in the Mega Daily for men, but I don't see it in the.
And put some seaweed in your soup.
Yeah, but the point is everybody stopped eating, caca salt and, and they've gone over to, non-iodized salt. And so we've been doing that for years. And, gee, guess what?
This chiropractor who follows Dr. Blaylock got me the iodine. And the label is Water Oz, Water O-Z. Dietary supplement, 16 ounces. It comes from Grangeville, Idaho, and let me see if I can tell you anything else.
I just found
it suggests for adults 1 teaspoon daily and children under 4, 1/4 to a 1/2 teaspoon as recommended.
Yeah, how much iodine is it, though? That's the point, because the capsules come with whatever. It's got 12.5 milligrams?
I can't see where it says this. This is liquid.
Okay, the one that I, and you can just, this is just for volume. This is a different brand. This is whatever. The name of it is I-O-D-O-R-A-L. Okay?
Right.
Iodine, potassium iodide supplement. And it has, it has 12.5 milligrams plus, it has 5 milligrams of straight iodine. And it has iodide, okay, that's the potassium salt. You really got to eat a lot of potassium. You need to eat a lot of potassium. At any rate, it's 7.5 milligrams of the potassium salt.
That is an excellent product. My doctor gives that. listen to his patients, and I took it some years ago, and it does work for increasing your thyroid production, because I was only on it for, I think, maybe 2 weeks, and I began having almost the jitters. I could tell my thyroid was overacting. So it really does work. And
right, and,
a lot of
right, and this is just to educate the lady. Their thyroid makes hormones. How many hormones? Bajillion. Do you need hormones? Absolutely. Absolutely. Insulin is a hormone. I mean, you need those hormones. And one tablet a day I would start, and your energy will go up. You know, I don't know what your morning body temperature is, you know, if it's a thyroid issue that's involved also, but...
I have a low thyroid, and I've just been really suffering from low energy, and I can just feel it that my hormones are out of balance. I mean, my skin is just scaling off sometimes, and
would you stop and go take iodine? That's it.
Okay. Yes, I will. And then I've just been to the naturopathic and the MD and listened to it. Thyroid came back in normal levels, and so did hormones. And isn't that interesting?
Well, that's then why we asked about the vitamin D. They're checking everything. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, it depends on how they did their testing for thyroid. Most doctors only want to look at the TSH score, and they do not usually run a free T4 and a free T3. That will indicate how much thyroid is actually
circulating,
freed up from the proteins in the bloodstream and allowed to get to reach the cells. If it doesn't reach the cells, the T3 never becomes activated because that's the energy.
And this naturopathic doctor said, "We'll check the T3 and the T4. I want that checked."
And did they check it?
Yes.
And is it okay?
How do you trust the lab? You know, how do you trust anything? And I had a fungal test too. And it took forever to get it back, and then I think the gal, it was probably in her back bedroom windowsill, and she forgot about it, you know. I don't know if I got a proper test.
Kathleen, you might want to come down here to Dr. Wright's, clinic.
I've thought about that.
I've got a naturopath there that I think he would handle this a little bit better. I'm going to be going now. This has been great. If we can help Kathleen, that call will be definitely worth it. And so thank you, everybody, for your help and all your information.
I thank you, too, and I'd like your emails from these other people, but maybe I can get them in a group deal. Nancy was saying if I sent something, she'd send me something.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll send them to.
Okay.
You guys that are on here.
And I looked at the Vitamin Shoppe brand. It's a little bit less. It's $36.99 for a 1 ounce of the oregano oil. But the label looks identical to the North American herb product, except that it has the Vitamin Shoppe logo.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Joan.
Love
everybody who's helped out. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow with Super Monty.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll have to go all over this again tomorrow, Monty.